Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, David.
You please pray with me, O Heavenly Father. Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
Beloved Jesus Christ.
Beloved Jesus Christ.
Blessed Master.
Blessed Master.
Dearest Mother.
Dearest Mother.
Saints and sages of all religions.
Saints and sages of all religions.
I bow to all of you.
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only king.
Be thou the only king.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Peace. Bliss. Amen.
Amen.
Reading from Master's Commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, entitled Mergence of the Self and Spirit, Pervading All Beings. This comes from Chapter 6, Verse 29 of the Gita. With the soul united to spirit by yoga, with a vision of equality for all things, the yogi beholds his self, spirit united, in all creatures and all creatures in spirit. After describing in stanzas 27 and 28 how a yogi, in his inactive and active states, can perceive the divine, the Bhagavad Gita refers in stanza 29 to the God-knowing saint who is free from all karma and material delusions because he realizes all things as not else than spirit. The liberated yogi is conscious of the spirit not only as cosmic bliss, but also as the cosmic light that is the true structure of all beings. Beholding everything in as cosmic light, the yogi sees his spirit-united, omnipresent self and all beings as emanations of that light. And on to verse 30. He who perceives me everywhere and beholds everything in me never loses sight of me, nor do I ever lose sight of him. The divine lover beholds God through every window of thought and space, and the cosmic beloved beholds the devotee through every window of his omnipresent love. In locked-in visions of love, God and the devotee enjoy unparted union. After uniting his soul to God, the yogi may still maintain the dual relation, the liberated devotee and God as the object of adoration. This stanza of the Gita definitely points out that the illumined yogi does not lose the individuality of his soul. Instead, he finds being extended into the being of spirit. An ordinary person perceives himself as separate from God. The advanced yogi feels his soul as a wave in the ocean of cosmic consciousness. But the completely liberated yogi beholds his soul wave as a manifestation of cosmic ocean. I'll read that again because it's very important. An ordinary person perceives himself as separate from God. The advanced yogi feels his soul as a wave in the ocean of cosmic consciousness. But the completely liberated yogi beholds his soul wave as a manifestation of cosmic ocean. Such a yogi never says, I am God, for he knows God can exist without his soul. But if he wants to, he can say, God has become myself. The soul of the emancipated yogi can remain merged, if he wishes, in the absolute, as the absolute. Or the liberated yogi, owing to the intention of his God-created individuality, which can never be lost, may remain or reappear in the physical body in which he was liberated, in order to worship God in any personal concept, such as Father, Mother, Friend, Beloved God, or in any desired materialized form, such as one of the deities, or as an incarnate of one of the avatars, such as Christ or Sri Krishna, or as the all-pervading infinite. This stanza stresses the state of duality that may exist between the devotee and God. The liberated devotee can watch God through every open niche of space, as the spirit can look at him through every pore of the sky. Such a liberated yogi never loses sight of God, nor does God ever lose sight of him. The true lover is God. We are all his beloveds. Mistakenly seeking love in impermanent human being, the thirst for affection can never be quenched by the imperfect love of mortals. When the devotee, by the practice of loving mortals truly, learns to love all beings, and by meditation learns to love God supremely, then, and only then, only in his longing for love satisfied. Every man who leaves the earth in an embittered state of unrequited love has to come back here until he finds the perfect love of God. When he recognizes the Lord as the only perfect lover, his heart seeks no other affection. After many prodigal wanderings, the yogi meets the cosmic lover in the bower of eternity. Wherever the yogi turns his attention, he sees his beloved peeping at him through the windows of stars and flowers, through every opening in the atoms and the pores of the sky. The cosmic lover similarly beholds the lost and found soul of the yogi steadfastly looking at him. To the ordinary person, God seems to be absent or vanished from the universe, but the yogi sees the ever-watching eye of God gazing at him through the windows of space. The face of his cosmic beloved is omnipresent. And verse 31. That yogi stays forever in me, who, anchored in divine unity, whatever his mode of existence, realizes me as pervading all beings. The yogi must realize the cosmic drama as God's dream motion picture, projected on the screen of space and man's consciousness by the infinite cosmic beam of spirit. Then he can everywhere behold God's light, no matter what part he plays in this movie of delusive shadows and divine light. The ordinary individual looks upon the world as made of matter, but the yogi who by ecstasy has united his soul with the spirit perceives the absolute cosmic consciousness and its manifestations as the cosmic dream made of one substance. When a dreamer partially wakes up in the middle of his dream, he realizes that his consciousness and the objects in the dream are made of the same substance, his own mind. The yogi awakened in God can similarly perceive all earthly dream objects in the so-called material world to be woven of the consciousness of God. It is in this state that the yogi realizes unity everywhere. He perceives not only that God dwells in all beings, but that all beings are his manifestations. The yogi dissolves all dual perceptions of matter and mind into the sole perception of cosmic consciousness. The yogi dissolves all dual perceptions of matter and mind into the sole perception of cosmic consciousness. A yogi who is awake in God is ever united with him, whether in life or death, whether in this world of activity or any other mode of existence. A yogi who has once awakened himself from this cosmic dream can no longer sleep in delusion like the ordinary man. In the subconscious state of slumber, or in the conscious state of existence, or in the superconsciousness of ecstasy, that yogi remains aware of God as the creator and dreamer of all. And finally, in verse 32, O Arjuna, the best type of yogi is he who feels for others, whether in grief or pleasure, even as he feels for himself. A person identified with the body feels its pains and happiness as his own. A yogi who is one with God knows the cosmos to be his own body, feeling the afflictions and joys of all beings as his own. He tries to decrease their suffering and to increase their true happiness. God manifesting as cosmic consciousness in the devotee relates through his intuition the following wisdom. An ordinary man selfishly perceives pleasure and pain only in connection with his own body. But the yogi who is identified with God perceives him everywhere, in both animate and inanimate worlds. His mind is expanded in cosmic consciousness. Not a sparrow falls outside the sight of God. So the yogi who is one with the Father is conscious simultaneously of the smallest and the greatest happenings in the universe. A devotee who perceives God in all beings feels naturally as his own the pleasures and pains of other beings. He wishes evil to none and tries to do good to all. The accomplished yogi is conscious of God alone. When he seemingly identifies himself with his body and outward works, he appears like an ordinary mortal. But within himself, he always retains the consciousness of the ever-blessed Lord. The yogi who is free, even while feeling the pleasures and pains of his body, is one who can retain God consciousness. Further, he feels the pleasures and pains of others. Yet, beyond all experiences of duality, he realizes the cosmic blessedness of God, ever transcendentally existent. Such a yogi tries to help others to realize God and to rise above the alterations of pain and pleasure born of body identification. Master so beautifully elucidates these points of this universal vision that Papa and Mother also speak so beautifully of. I received an email a while ago from a dear aspirant, and I'm going to read to you a part of it. Beloved Master, thank you for your patience in waiting for my email. Very sorry I didn't get this to you earlier, but I had to think about exactly I wanted to present this subject to you. After pondering it for some time, I finally had a breakthrough experience on, of all days, my birthday. On June 28, 2008, I had my first UFO experience. I was sitting in my backyard meditating this night when suddenly a very small, bright light appeared out of nowhere and began accelerating towards me at incredible speeds. Then it instantaneously grew to about 100 times its original size, made a sharp left turn towards the side of my house, sped towards the outer atmosphere, and shrunk down to the size of a star or satellite instantaneously. It then stopped to meet two other starships that moved side to side to form a triangle formation. For me, this was an unexplainable event. What does this have to do with Planet X? Well, it is believed that intelligent life exists on the moons that orbit the brown dwarf Nibiru, Planet X. My point in bringing this up is to state that there are going to be great changes ahead of us in the coming years. I believe we should take the warnings and predictions seriously, given the evidence, which is both scientific and historical. If you agree, then, well, let me know if you have any questions. It is a hard topic to digest, but there's a great deal of good that will come from it. Then he sent a series of links about some internet sites on this Planet X. As we know from Sri Yukteswar, that according to Oriental science, that our star has a dual star. And it has been postulated that the dual star could be what is called a brown dwarf. It is a small sun that has ignited or is too small to ignite and has no longer emitting any light. Because if there were possibly, according to some astronomers, a star that was so close as to be in elliptical orbit with our sun every 24,000 years, as Ryukyushvar posits, then we should be able to see that more clearly. Although there are some other explanations about the changing speeds in elliptical orbit that could explain how a star further away could actually be in elliptical orbit with our own sun. And the point of all of this is that there are many things in those cosmos that are beyond our knowledge and our understanding at this time. There are other topics related to this planet X in which it predicts that it will enter into orbit, you might say, with our sun, or it will pass through our solar system. Not necessarily in orbit, but like perhaps a meteorite comes through every once in a while and passes through the solar system. And something this large would create tremendous havoc in this world. It would unbalance the state of nature as we currently know it. And there are some predictions that this will be occurring in 2012. This runs different than how Sri Yukteswar talks about it, because if we are in elliptical orbit, it will not pass through our solar system. Rather, our sun and the other sun will be in orbits around each other. And while it has an influence, it will not have the devastating influence predicted, and certainly not in any time frame that as early as 2012. And with this, by long way of introduction, I had an experience when I was at Cloud Mountain, and I've not related it except to Larry at this point. And it was he who related it to this email that I shared with him. And so I thought I would share it with you because I had an inner prompting to do so. And I don't ordinarily go into these kinds of things because our purpose here is to keep our mind on God. But I think you will see that in this experience that I had at this time, there is a tremendous resonance with a divine vibration. It certainly wasn't anything that was sensational in that sense. So I'd like to read to you something that I wrote at the time. And this happened in the summertime, before I came out of silence at Cloud Mountain, while I was there in silence and seclusion. One night in silence and seclusion at Cloud Mountain, a thought came of itself to me that if I were to ever choose a name, it would be Premanand, the bliss of God through love. This thought led to a very unusual experience that, if I had not experienced it myself, I would find incredulous. When my mind sounded out the name Premanand, a vibration went out from me and I went with it. Through this vibration, I effortlessly encompassed space beyond the earth. In fact, my mind merged with others from a distant planet. I was communicating through thought, pictures, and feelings with these highly realized beings. They lived underground in a cave of sorts. Although they were not in primitive circumstances, they had chosen simplicity. These beings were instantly aware of me. Whether they had summoned the experience or not, they instantly attuned themselves to my mind and soul, and I found myself communing with these souls. They were instantly sending me thoughts and receiving mine as well. This all started when I was thinking about the name Premanand. Although the experience was fantastical, it was not characterized by any excitement on my part. Rather, I was calm and deeply touched by what occurred. It was a sacred and deeply personal type of communication, not a sensationalized feeling or overly dramatic. Soon after this happened, I worked to reconstruct the communication. Because it happened through thought, pictures, and feeling, it was immediate, clear, and more complete than any word association could accurately convey. I do not know exactly how I can construct it now, but I will try, as the communication was so swift and came with words and pictures as well as feelings. The other beings I was communicating with I shall refer to as AEC, that will be clear as to why in the recorded communication. My thought, after thinking Premanand was, love is the way to bliss. And in communion with these beings that I call AC, yes, love is the greatest thing. David, yes, then a feeling of great love leading into bliss, I was clear there were several of them. David, who are you? I felt that they were from another planet when I asked this. AC, we are from a great distance. David, can you tell me? AC, what you call Alpha Centauri. David, how are we connected? AC, we are communing in love. That is how we are connected. David, how did you know of me? Your teacher, Mother Hamilton, told us. David, do you know of her? AC, yes, she has come and taught us here. My clear sense that this was in recent times and is ongoing. David, yes, she is all love. AC, yes. David, light. AC, yes. David, she is wisdom. AC, yes. David, she is will. AC, yes, with an exclamation point. David, ah. Mentally bowing at Mother's feet. Then all rose in ineffable love and bliss. David, and she told you about me. AC, yes, that you have that love. David, yes, Premanand. I repeated the word and it vibrated out with such power and uplifting force over and over again. David, are all on your planet such as you, that is, attuned and filled with love and bliss? Pause. AC, not all, but in generally we are attuned to this. Some sadness I felt from them for the ones who were not. It was more like the ones not attuned were struggling to have that attunement than any notion of the kind of strife and war that we have. David, how wonderful to have a planet attuned to Premanand, and the vibration of that name resonated deeply between us. David, why is your planet so advanced? Has it always been that way? AC, due to our position and realized ones guiding us, that is, realized masters, this communication was in pictures and in a felt sense rather than words, so like most of this I am writing, the wording is my best attempt at describing this communication, although some of the communication did come in definite word form. Due to our position and realized ones guiding us. David, yes, where would we be without the great ones? AC, yes. And the resonance of truth reverberated out and out. David, and the position of your planet? So Sri Yukteswar was right. The position of planet influences the evolution of that planet. Pause. AC, yes, position makes a difference. Pause on my end to let this sink in. The image of the centaur came to me, and they knew it, complete with bow and arrow. David, the image we have of your system is warlike. AC, yes, that is imagination from your civilization. Though there was a time, we had war. The feeling of the violence of the Earth planet came over me, and the lack of awareness of real love by so many. David, yes, it is lonely here at times. There are those who love a great deal, but it is not constant, nor is it pervasive. AC, yes, we can imagine, and a pause. You may commune with us at any time. David, how do I know this is not just in my mind? AC, feel the power of love, and the vibration was ringing in every cell of my body, and I felt my mind extending over vast space in communion with them. David, I have great love, such great love, I know, but sometimes I fall short of perfect purity. AC, that will pass. Your nature is love. David, what do I need to do for my complete realization? AC, love, Premanand. David, that is all I want. AC, yes. I could feel my awareness drawing back from the vast space. I knew our time together was coming to a close, yet I continue to easily communicate with them. David, will I commune with you again? AC, whenever you focus on your heart, we will be there. I focused on the heart. I felt the strength of that connection. My awareness came back to the cabin and my more localized awareness. Every cell in my body continued to ring with the vibration of Premanand. Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Victory to God, victory to the light, victory to the power of divine love. That night, I listened to a tape of Mother Hamilton, as I did every Sunday night. Before I turned on Mother's talk, I inwardly asked Mother to confirm this experience, if it was true. During Mother's talk, she spoke of being able to communicate with beings from other planets without having to leave our chair, without a need for a spaceship. She said that in that very talk that she had had experiences that she could scarce believe happened to her. In fact, at the time of her speaking, in 1969, she still had a hard time believing all that had happened to her. But she knew it was true, and it was God had given it to her. I could well understand her dilemma. On the heels of this talk, I received an email with a quote from Papa that seemed to me another confirmation. There is no more potent power in life of a human being than love, which ennobles, enlightens, and sanctifies life. The heart imbued with this love feels for suffering humanity. It is this love that freely forgives and returns good for evil. Because it is born of divine spirit that dwells within you, it is an expression of truth, the light that radiates from your purified, illumined soul. Such a love is the ideal to be aspired for. The person in whom it has revealed itself is really holy. He is a channel of God's power and glory. So for whatever purpose, God has prompted me to share this with you today. And as I read it, I feel the power of that experience, and it has been true down through the years that every once in a while, my mind will be attuned to these great beings at such a great distance. No spaceship is required, no time. Nothing is required but the attunement of the heart and mind. And if it were of an ordinary communication about ordinary things, I would not bring it up here. But to know that there are such great spiritual beings that exist in this universe, to know that what we are aspiring for is what others have aspired for before us. Now, in one sense, all souls are created equal in God. And so there is no difference between a soul who may be of a different planetary system than our own. And certainly truth, if it be truth with a capital T, is universal and will apply to everyone equally. These truths that we study, these truths that we aspire to realize in our own life, are the greatest truths available to mankind. This world has gone through many, many difficulties. It has gone through a tremendously dark time of the Kali Yuga, a stage of darkness that this world is required to go through periodically. We are coming out of that into the Dwapara Yuga, which we are in now. But the forces of darkness and ignorance are very strong. Mother described this because not only were we in the shorter Kali Yuga, as Sri Yukteswar described, in thousands, tens of thousands of years, but we are also at the apex of the Kali Yuga of a much larger cycle that runs into the hundreds of thousands and even millions of years. And so it has been a very difficult, dark time, and if we feel that this earth is sometimes filled with darkness and warfare and hatred and selfishness and greed, there's good reason for it. But we should not lose sight of the idea that God exists and, as Master described, pervades every particle of existence. When you realize God, this world remains much the same as it did before, but how you perceive it changes totally. Because now you see a divine sparkle in every atom of space. You know that systemic within all people, within all beings, is the light divine. Now it may be hidden by many layers of ignorance and stupidity and meanness and greed and all the other things that can inhabit a human mind. But that cannot change or destroy that inward divine light that is striving like a deep seed, deeply planted seed, is striving to eventually break through the dark earth and reach out towards the sunlight. Even so, within all of us is the seed of divinity that eventually is awakened. And when it awakens, it strives. And when it strives, it fights, it works. It does everything that it can to find the light. And so with our souls, we have seen ourselves on such a spiritual journey. And we are in that position of striving, of stretching out for the light. And sometimes we do better and other times not so well. But the main thing isn't whether we do everything perfectly, because in a human sense, we can never do everything perfectly. The main thing is, are we striving? Are we getting ourselves back on track? Are we attuning ourselves with the highest light and the highest truth that we know in a particular moment? This pramanan, this love that leads to bliss, and that bliss and love merge together into a singular vibration of the Absolute, is the most tremendous thing that you have within you. And out of that comes all wisdom. Out of that comes all goodness. All of that comes all aspirations for the higher things. And so when you attune yourself to that vibration, Master oftentimes spoke about attunement. The mind is limited in what it can apprehend. And unfortunately, some people get very much onto a mind trip around all of this stuff, thinking that they'll be able to get realization. But really, at some point, that becomes the ego mind's way of protecting itself. At some point, you have studied all that you can study and that the mind can take in that is useful for realization. And then you come to the point of complete and total surrender. And when you come to that point, then you lose all fear. Now, I don't believe, as some of these internet sites have talked about, that this large sun, brown dwarf, is going to pass through our solar system. I do think that, as Sri Yukteswar described, we are in elliptical orbit with it. And the main point there is that as we draw closer to the grand center, as Sri Yukteswar talked about it, the evolution of this world begins to quicken, and we see that. We see the intelligence of man quickening, but not always does wisdom keep up with the pace of intelligence. So we can create with technology wonderful things of convenience and safety for our benefit, but we can also create weapons. We can also create ways of destroying the human race. And so what we are in very desperate need of is attuned wisdom. And when we put aside the human mind and attune ourselves to this inner vibration of premanand, this love bliss, then we are lifted up into a higher state of realization. Now, if we are existing in a mental state only, it's very dry. It's very dry, and life is dry. I know those who think that in attaining realization, they will leave behind all emotion, all feeling, because they've had a hard time of it. They've had a difficult time of it. And that feeling nature, they feel, has betrayed them. They've been hurt, and they've been very much abused in this world. And so they just want to leave it all behind and go into a kind of state of numbness or nothingness. This is not realization. Realization is expansiveness. It's the refinement of feeling. And when you have totally purified feeling, you come into a state of bliss and pure love. It's a universal love. Most people's love is predicated by another person's behavior. If you treat me well and if I like you, then I might love you. But love in the divine sense is pure. It is a pure state of being, and it's not predicated upon anybody else's behavior. The love that pours through me is a pure love, and it just flows through and out. And there's no regard for who's deserving or not deserving. It is a gift. It is a gift to me, and when we experience it and let it flow freely through us, it is a gift for this world, to all them who would receive it. So this is the great premise, that we can find this love, that we can find this bliss. And through the resonance of that loving bliss, we will enter into the highest states of realization. So let us take from this wonderful experience a confirmation that, number one, we are on the right path. And number two, through such divine attunement, we will find our oneness with God. And once we have our oneness with God, we are then free to explore this universe. But you see, if we try to seek out too many things in this world before we have our oneness with God, we can get lost. Because everything in this world, everything in this universe is of a dual nature. And it will not satisfy the human heart. There is nothing. You could have all the power in this universe. You could have all the knowledge of this universe. But if you did not have God consciousness, you would find yourself in very much the same predicament. It is like the child who gets the toy that they've been yearning for, and they're so, so happy. But it only has a certain amount of shelf life, that happiness, and eventually it begins to fade. And no matter how great you may become in this world, the allure of that greatness fades. It is only with God that we find true and lasting happiness. So let us put aside the things of childish preoccupations and really attune ourselves to our own deeper nature. It is not far away. It is not in a distant planet. It is right within your own heart and soul. I thought this one of the most marvelous discoveries and one of the most marvelous things in our nature is that the same consciousness, the same intelligence, the same power that created this entire universe resides right within your own heart. But who searches it out? Who takes the time to investigate what resides within, right within your own heart and being? If you will seek, then you will find. And you will find that great intelligence, consciousness, love, bliss, more than what your little cup of human consciousness can contain. And so your cup will runneth over. And you will feel the great peace and that greatness of light that is promised within all scriptures, within all religions, if we read it properly. This is my message to you today. And I beseech you to receive it and to take it deeply into your thoughts, your heart, your soul, until you find that resonance of that same experience that I had and continue to have. I can tell you from my own experience, nothing in this world is greater. Nothing even comes close. So there is no excuse put aside your search. Seek it out, and you will find. I would like you to just take a moment now and focus in on your heart center. And without any great kind of anticipation of what the experience should be, just simply open your heart to whatever God and the Masters have to give to you in this moment. It may not qualify as a great experience as you may think about it. It may be a whisper of peace, a sense of love, a place of healing, and most of all, a place of connection with that infinite spirit that dwells inside of you. Open your heart. Allow to whatever is being given to you to come into you. Master described the heart as a receiving station. It is a receiving station for that divine vibration. Feel there the heart like a tuning fork. It begins to vibrate with a certain vibration. I've seen a certain kind of wind instrument that is a series of strings that when the wind blows through it, it begins to hum and vibrate and makes music. And when the spiritual winds blow through your heart, it begins to vibrate within your heart, a certain resonance, a certain tune, a certain melody of divine frequency. There is so much for us to experience within. Yet so often our minds are preoccupied with the things of this world to the exclusion, so that we don't see, we don't hear, we don't feel. But open yourself now and feel that, in whatever degree it comes to you. Don't judge it. Simply be the observer and receive and open yourself. And now, if you will pray with me, O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of Thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for Thee. I kneel in adoration at Thy feet and surrender myself to Thee. I feel the power of Thy perfection, surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence are radiant with Thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with thee.
Of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am he. Bow to the light within you all.